Would you pray with me? Lord, we do give you thanks for this day. We thank you for our time here together that we can gather as brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, we ask that as we continue to go through this Believe series that you would really impress on our hearts the need for you and the need for this community that we have around us. Lord, we ask that you would block out a few of the distractions that we might have for a few moments so that we can simply focus on your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you can think all the way back to the beginning of the year, we started off with 10 really core Christian beliefs. And as we looked at these, those 10 beliefs were really broken into two different groups. There were the first five that dealt with our relationship with God. And then the next five were dealing with our relationship with others. As we have gone through the first five practices now, those things that we're putting in place as believers in Christ, how we live in the world, the first five practices actually dealt with our relationship with God. Worship, prayer, Bible study, single-mindedness, total surrender, all dealt with our relationship really with God. We make a shift today, for the next five practices are going to deal with our relationship with people, with others. And today is that biblical community. And this really shouldn't surprise us. I know back at one point I pointed out that even the Ten Commandments are divided in that fashion, although not equally five and five, but we have the first three that deal with our relationship with God. We have the remaining seven that deal with our relationship with others. And so it's not a surprise that these topics would be divided that way as well. Also, if you remember, Jesus at one point is questioned by some Pharisees, and one teacher of the law approaches him and says, "Which is the greatest commandment?" They're trying to trap him. And do you remember what he responds? The first one is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second one is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And so this series is somewhat divided in this fashion as well. Our relationship with God in several areas and in our relationship with others. Now I'm sure that you have maybe in the back of your mind asked yourself this question. And if you haven't asked yourself this question, maybe someone has asked you, why do you go to church? Why do we need church? Now, I know that we've talked about this before. Church attendance is gotten to be mean a whole different thing today. Faithful attendance might be once or twice a month rather than four times a month. But if we ask ourselves, why do we need church? I think it really all comes down to what our key practice is for today. If we can look at that on the screen, the key practice for biblical community is I fellowship with Christians to accomplish God's purposes in my life, in the lives of others, and in the world. So if you would say that with me, I fellowship with Christians to accomplish God's purposes in my life, in the lives of others, and in the world. And we see this sense of that in the very beginning of the church in Acts. If we go to a key verse for today, it's a little bit longer of a verse, but why don't we say it together as we go, since we're going to have to change screens. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Acts 2, 44 to 47. I remembered. I always forget that. But you get this whole sense of this biblical community in the very beginning. They had a common purpose. And that was to gather together, to break bread, to pray, and to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. They had that common purpose. And so that community is what enabled them to be strong and do that. If we think about our Old Testament reading for today, and it was brought out in Bible class, and evidently that's what most of the Sunday school classes looked at, is the rebuilding of the wall of Jerusalem after the Israelite people had come back from captivity under the leadership of Nehemiah. It's a really fascinating story of what takes place. I mean, Nehemiah comes back to Jerusalem and he surveys the damage that was done when the Babylonians came in and took over Jerusalem and carried them off into captivity. They basically destroyed the city. The walls were in ruins. The gates were torn down. And so Nehemiah goes out and surveys all this damage and puts together a plan to rebuild the wall. But guess what? Just like in the early church, just like we have today, there was opposition that arose. There were the neighboring countries that didn't want this to happen. The neighboring people would come in and try to stop the progress that they were accomplishing by rebuilding this wall. Nehemiah, they put together a plan where half the people will stand on guard with their swords and their armor, while the remaining half build the wall. And we're told that it was actually done in record time. I wanted to read that in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 15. It says, "So the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month of Elul in 52 days. And when all our enemies heard of it, all the nations around us were afraid and fell greatly in their own esteem, for they perceived that this work had been accomplished with the help of God." So in an incredible time to complete the reconstruction of this wall, and even the enemies realized, hey, this wasn't done by the hand of just the people. It was their God. And so that community of people, the numbers and strength is what made it possible to accomplish the rebuilding of that wall. Why do we go to church? Why do we have church assemblies? You know, as I think about this, and probably as you think about it, we actually, if we want to be honest with ourselves, we actually need each other. We need the support and the encouragement of a community of believers. I want you to stop and think for just a moment. What would have happened if half of the people, or maybe even a third of the people, during that rebuilding of the wall just decided, I'm done. I'm not going to stand guard. This is nuts. What would have happened? Obviously, God could have worked through that, and possibly the wall would have been completed, but do you think it would have been completed in record time? I don't think so. I think the point was that whole group, that whole community of believers coming together and working together as that group with that one common purpose is what made it successful. The church is really the same way. It takes all of us, and we're going to get to spiritual gifts next week, but it takes all of us working together in the area that God has gifted us to accomplish the purposes for our life, for the lives of others, and the life of the whole church and the world. It's important that we're all here together. I'll be honest with you. Here a couple of Sundays ago, you know, when we had those thunderstorms in the morning, I understand, but that was almost a letdown. That was probably the lowest attendance I've seen in this church. And I'm not bashing anyone here. I want you to get that straight. But what I'm doing is making the point of, We don't have that sense of community when so many people are missing. And what I don't think a lot of people understand is when we're missing, it doesn't just hurt ourselves, but it hurts everyone else that needs your support, your encouragement, as we live our lives in this world. Thankfully, the next week, attendance was back up, and today it's back up again, so praise God for that, right? And I understand what took place, but it is. I mean, you don't have that sense of community when you have so many people missing. We need each other. We have to have each other to continue our walk in this world. What's been amazing to me over the last couple of weeks is the fact that every single Bible study that our church is doing right now, whether it's our men's Bible study with Courageous, whether it's our small group Bible study on Sunday evenings with War Room, whether it's this Believe series Bible study. What was the fourth one? The youth, senior youth. The same verse came up in three of those four Bible studies last week. And they're all about committing ourselves to the Lord and our faithfulness and just immersing ourselves and making God a priority in our lives. And we talked a little bit about this in Bible class this morning and we did it in our War Room study. We said, let's hold each other accountable. And I'll be honest with you. In today's age, holding each other accountable takes on a whole different meaning. And it means this: you're prying into my business. Leave me alone. But we're here to hold each other accountable. We need that support and encouragement from each other. We need people to say, man, we missed you. Where have you been? Not in a way that's degrading and mean, but in a way that we really need you. We need your support. We need that encouragement that we can get from each other. I thought one of the first clip of our War Room Bible study really brought this out. Even the second one did too, but I chose to show the first one here. Let's watch that clip.
Now I ran a sales report from the area. Wrote down the suggested asking price for the house. Well, what do you think?
Now, what did you say your husband did for a living?
Well, we actually haven't talked about that, but he's a sales rep for Brightwell Pharmaceuticals.
And where did you say you attended church?
Well, we occasionally attend Riverdale Community.
So you would say you know the Lord?
Yes, I would say I know the Lord. You think the Lord is okay with this asking price?
And you have children?
Miss Clara, my husband Tony and I have been married for 16 years. We have one daughter, her name is Danielle, and she's 10. She enjoys pop music and ice cream and jumping rope.
Oh, well, that's good to know. Now, you say you attend church occasionally. Is that because your pastor only preaches occasionally?
Miss Clara, I really would like to help you sell your house. That's why I'm here. As far as my faith is concerned, I believe in God, just like most people. He's very important to me.
Well, let me get our coffee.
So if I asked you what your prayer life was like, would you say that it was hot or cold?
I don't know that I would say it's hot. I mean, we're like most people. We have full schedules. We work. But I would consider myself a spiritual person. I'm not hot, but I'm not cold either. Just, you know, somewhere in the middle.
Here you go. I've got cream with sugar if you need
it. Oh, no, thank you. I like it black. Miss Clara, you like your coffee room temperature?
No, baby, mine's hot. Elizabeth, people drink their coffee hot or cold, but nobody likes it lukewarm. Not even the Lord.
Point taken, Miss Clara. But why do you feel the need to examine my personal life?
because I've been where you are. And you don't have to step on the same landmines that I did. That's a waste of time. And this asking price is just fine. Let me get you a hot cup of coffee.
I was a little sneaky last time.
What landmines do you think I might step on?
You tell me. Now, if there was one thing in your life that you could make better, what would it be?
Just one? Well, I'd probably have to say my marriage. There's one thing we do well. It's fight.
No, I don't think you do.
I'm sorry?
Just because you argue a lot doesn't mean that you fight well. Every couple has some friction every now and then. But I bet that you never feel like you won after you had an argument with your husband. Can I ask you how much you pray for your husband?
Well, very little.
Elizabeth, I think it's time for me to show you my favorite place in this house.
It's a fairly comical scene there. But I think it really speaks volumes to every aspect of our Christian walk, whether it's our commitment to this biblical community and in worship. It speaks to the accountability issue. She said, what do you examine my personal life for? But you see, that wasn't the point of what she was doing. Her point was, hey, if I can help you avoid some of the things where I've messed up, that's what we're here for. You see, we're all here together as a biblical community to walk through this challenging world that we live in together. And if it means pointing out something where we see someone maybe going the wrong way, maybe that would help us avoid some of those landmines ourselves. It's not done in an aggressive way and in trying to get into people's business. But it's simply there to provide that encouragement, provide that support that we need spiritually in our lives. That's what the biblical community is for. It's here to build each other up, to encourage each other, to walk through some of the tough, difficult times in our life. One thing that came up in our senior youth study this past week, and I know I've mentioned it before, what is the church? Is the church a place where people come who are all well and healthy and got their life together and have everything in their life together? Is that who we want in our church? Jesus even said what? It's not the healthy that I've come for, but the sick. You see, the church is a hospital. It's a place where hurting people come that are faced with all sorts of challenges and difficulties. And we're here to be those people who support, encourage, build up each other as we walk through this place we call the world. We truly need each other. In fact, I would say we have to have each other. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.